Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Thursday, September 19th. I'm Hannah Floor. This year's permanent fund dividend will be $1,702. PFD announcements of years past included oversized novelty checks and press conferences, but the Alaska Department of Revenue quietly made the announcement today in a prepared statement, as it has in recent years. The dividend total includes a normal dividend amount of $1,400 plus a roughly $300 energy relief payment approved by the legislature last year. This year's PFD amount is about $400 more than last year's. State officials say over 600,000 Alaskans will be eligible for a dividend this year. Residents who applied electronically for direct deposit should start seeing PFDs in their accounts on October 3rd. All other dividends, including paper checks, are set to go out October 26th. Black bears are ransacking garbage bins in Petersburg, and it's not just an issue of safety. It's also costing the borough and its residents money. KFSK's Olivia Schmidt has more on the impact of these garbage raids and what the community is doing to address the problem.
Tipped over trash cans, waste strewn across the street. The remnants of a hasty raid are a common sight in Petersburg in the first weeks of autumn. Although the culprit has fled the scene, everyone knows who it is. It's garbage bear season.
I think bears have just always been a natural part of what we deal with, especially come summer and fall.
That's Grace Wolf, a local resident.
I am not super fond of bears in the first place. They've always scared me. When I was like 7 years old, I do remember a couple times they were in the garbage, but my mom always had it like bungeed, and that usually kept them out. They have gotten smarter, and they can get into cans.
The Petersburg Police Department has received over 100 calls this season about bears getting into trash. And Public Works and Sanitation Director Chris Cotta says the public is taking note.
There's a lot of traffic on Facebook about it. We also get reports by phone and just talking to people. We do know, just based on all of the information we typically monitor and gather, that there's been a lot more activity. It's significant.
The bear issue even made it onto the platform of a candidate for local office. Mark Martinson is running for a seat on Petersburg's Borough Assembly. He says ticketing people whose trash cans get burglarized isn't the way to go.
You ever watch the 400-pound bear when he's playing with a garbage can he wants in it? He tips it on the side, jumps on it, and pops it like a pimple. There's nothing that's going to hold that lid on. This whole ordinance of fining people, treating the citizens like children with time out, I mean, everybody knows the bear problem.
Martinson is referring to a controversial measure the borough put in place a couple years ago. It basically allows local law enforcement to impose a fine on residents who fail to properly secure their garbage. First offenders get a $50 ticket. Then it's $150 for a second offense and $300 for a third. The police department has issued 41 citations this year, collecting a little over $2,000. Police Chief James Kerr says it's been a big year.
With the bears, our number one concern is public safety. We've had a lot more interactions with the bears getting into garbage cans, so that's why you see the increase in citations this year, because of the lack of people putting the straps on, and that's all we're asking is a reasonable effort.
Kerr himself hasn't been spared from the bear burglaries or the legal consequences.
I personally had a ticket. We left to go camping, and when I got back, as soon as I hit cell coverage, I had a photo of my trash texted to me by someone in the community, and I tell everyone we're doing the same for everyone, so that's why I called up the sergeant, had him come over and write me a ticket.
The new fines give residents more incentive to call when there is a problem in their neighborhood. It's been costing the police department as well.
We've had 106 calls. I mean, that's a substantial number. And so you figure man hours on that. Financially, we've been spending more money. It can add up between time and resources being spent towards dealing with them. We have a limited budget, and so I think the borough's doing the best they can with their resources, and we're just trying to work with the community on it.
Part of that budget has gone towards non-lethal measures to limit the bear presence in town, including pepper ball guns. Kerr gave me a demonstration outside the police station, using the air rifle to launch the pepper capsule at a makeshift target.
We started using those on the bears recently, and we're getting a better response. The officers have shot the bears with those. It's just like getting hit with pepper spray.
As for why there has been such an increase in bear activity in town, there are likely several factors at play. For one, bears are naturally voracious eaters in the fall as they enter hyperphagia, the process of putting on weight to survive their winter hibernation. Their need for calories makes them look for easy targets. In bears' natural habitat, this usually means fish, but according to Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Frank Robbins, that resource hasn't been as reliable this year.
It might be related to lack of rain and fish not accessing the streams like they do most years.
Robbins says that the black bears are simply acting on their natural impulses, and rural communities need to be more aware of their role in the ecosystem.
Petersburg is smack dab in the middle of bear habitat. The plastic garbage pails that we have really aren't great storage devices. They're more of delivery devices. And so if you can store your garbage in an outbuilding or in the garage and then only use the plastic trash cans to deliver the garbage to the garbage truck, that's the best policy.
Other strategies to deter bears include freezing garbage to eliminate enticing odors and investing in more serious can protection. For example, last year, the town purchased an industrial steel container for an apartment complex that was being routinely targeted by nuisance bears drawn by the volume of garbage. While it has proven successful, it has drawbacks.
That's actually worked very well, but each one of those dumpsters is like 15,000, so doing that across the whole entire town is not feasible.
As a more cost-effective measure, the borough has invested in garbage straps and replacement cans for those damaged due to bear activity.
The dump has been giving out the bear straps for your garbage can. You can request a new garbage can. That's 100% free.
These efforts to help residents better secure their trash are crucial, as the bear problem isn't going away anytime soon. Bears won't go into hibernation for several months yet. So, town residents should stay vigilant or be ready to bear the consequences. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Schmidt.
The Central Council of Thinka and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska has received $15 million in funding. That's from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program. The tribe will use it to expand composting in tribal communities across Southeast Alaska, including Petersburg. As Anna Kenny reports from Juneau, it's part of a region-wide trend of money for composting programs.
Thinka and Haida environmental specialist Sir Scott said the tribe was surprised to receive the nearly $15 million grant. They're still developing more specific plans for how to use the money, but they hope it will go towards strengthening existing composting operations in the region.
We're not looking to reinvent the wheel. We're more so looking to serve as a resource to help these composters expand and then reach new heights, and whether that be with their local composting groups or the local municipalities, forming together partnerships across the region.
Scott said they're interested in working with tribal communities like Wrangell, Hoonah, Petersburg, and Yakutat, which already have local composting programs. They're in preliminary talks with leaders in those places, but the tribe says they're open to working with other communities too. Brandy Tolsma is also an environmental specialist for Thinka and Haida. She said they're relatively new to the world of composting, but they're eager to invest in it. According to the EPA, annual CO2 emissions from food waste are comparable to that of 42 coal-fired power plants. And food waste is the single most common kind of waste in U.S. landfills. In Juneau, a recent study estimated that 32% of the material in our landfill could be composted instead.
There's still a lot of potential for expanding composting and really trying to divert as much as we can from these landfills, whether it be the Juneau landfill to help expand that lifespan of the landfill, or also in these tribal communities trying to divert waste. Also, the other communities that are shipping their waste down south to help alleviate that economic burden.
This is at least the third round of federal funding that Thinka and Haida has received for composting and recycling in recent years. There was a $1.5 million earmark from the bipartisan infrastructure law last year to develop a regional composting hub, and another $300,000 via the U.S. Department of Agriculture for composting at the tribe's greenhouse in Juneau. Those projects are not yet up and running. The city and borough of Juneau is also looking to invest in composting, with early plans to develop a municipal facility, also supported with federal funding. Clinkin and Haida say they plan to collaborate with the city, but they've yet to figure out what that partnership might look like. Juno already has one private composting business run by Lisa Doherty since 2017. Juno Compost collects and processes food waste from 40 local businesses and at least 500 households.
I know that the people and the businesses of our community really support the work that we've done for the past 7 years, and I hope that community leaders who are going to be shaping the compost future can recognize that and ensure that composting is going to be wonderful for everyone.
In the past, Doherty has publicly expressed concerns that the influx of federal money for composting in Juno could put her out of business. She says she hasn't seen any of Clinkin and Haida's plans yet. While she's eager to grow composting in Juno and the rest of Southeast Alaska, she says she hopes the process is collaborative, with room for public-private partnerships. In Juno, I'm Anna Kenny.
Petersburg's Hospital Board is meeting this evening to go over staff reports from each hospital department. Several staff members are expressing frustration with the way the aging hospital facility limits their working environment. KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports.
Progress is mounting at the site of Petersburg's new hospital facility. The site preparation is nearly complete on all the wetlands that Petersburg Medical Center is permitted to work on. But the old building continues to throw curveballs at the people who live and work there. That's according to Wolf Brooks, Petersburg Medical Center's maintenance manager. His primary concern is the building's deteriorating septic lines, some of which are very difficult for maintenance to access due to being encased in concrete. In his report to the hospital board, Brooks wrote that his team continues to find new septic lines that are, quote, on the verge of failure, end quote. And over in the Infection Prevention Department, Chief Nursing Officer Jennifer Briner says her staff is struggling with the size and layout of the hospital's laundry area. She says meeting current infection prevention standards would require a complete overhaul of the room, and her staff are doing their very best to prevent the spread of disease through laundry, in spite of the limited space. But they must, quote, work much harder than they would if they were operating in a properly engineered space, end quote. Briner's not the only one to make that observation. Rebecca Hamill and Anna Frick from the Alaska Section of Epidemiology visited the hospital at the end of August. They were there to audit employees' cleaning, laundry, and patient care procedures. Briner reports that they gave staff glowing reviews for their adherence to procedure and good hygiene practices, but it came with a caveat. PMC's worst infection risks stem from the aging facility, which would require a complete remodel to meet current infection control standards. But several blocks away from the old facility, PMC has started bringing visitors to the site of the new building. Over a dozen guests signed up in the last month to tour the construction site and voice their opinions about the project, both positive and negative, according to hospital CEO Phil Hofstetter. In regards to funding, the new hospital made it onto the list for a $3 million federal appropriation sponsored by U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. The appropriation still needs congressional approval, but Hofstetter says it's a meaningful indicator of support from Alaska's federal delegation. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
For KFSK, I'm Hannah Flohr.